you recall, if you were here last week, this is the second installment of the two-week series on the sacraments of healing. Last week we talked about anointing of the sick. This week will be about confession. And the readings are laid out beautifully for us. Both in the Old and New Testament recount how leprosy was handled. And one of them by Jesus himself in the gospel. And the Old Testament requirements for handling leprosy, they can seem harsh, are there for practical purposes. Right on the surface, when you hear how the Old Testament, if someone had leprosy, they had to yell out unclean, unclean, and muffle their beard and be ostracized from the community, it seems harsh, but do not forget that the priest of the Levitical priesthood wasn't just there to lead worship, he was also there to provide for the physical health of the people of Israel. He was the inspector of the leprosy. He was almost like doctor and priest. And so the ostracization of a person who had leprosy wasn't a moral distinction. They weren't ostracized, like excommunicated because of a moral reason. It was for a practical one, to stop the spread of a disease. We hear it. The one who bears the sore of leprosy shall keep his garments rent and his head bare and shall muffle his beard and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as the sore is on him, he shall declare himself unclean so it would not continue to spread. Again, it's not a moral judgment. Yet, as Christianity continued to receive what happened in the Old Testament and receive the gospel and see how the gospel is fulfilled by Old Testament happenings, they started to write about the connection between leprosy as a type for sin. So physical sickness, a type, a foreshadowing, and how we react to it, to a spiritual sickness. Let's make this analogy. The early church fathers did so well. They pointed out, one, that leprosy did not just affect the individual who had caught it, but it affected the community. See, one person's sickness is the possibility for everyone else's sickness. We often try to convince ourselves that sin is only about us. But the majority of time, sin affects the people around us. Actually, all the time, sin affects the people around us, even if we think it's a private sin. The drunk driver kills the other driver. The adulterer breaks the spouse's heart and breaks up a family. The thief is stealing from somebody. Sin is also contagious, just like a disease, just like Hansen's disease, leprosy is contagious. Sin is contagious. The holier we are, the holier those who are around us will be. If we hang out with holy people, we will become holy. We become the five people we hang out with the most. It's like a theory they have out there. And similarly, the more vicious we are, the more vicious the people around us, and the people around us affect us. If we hang out with vicious people, we'll become vicious. Vicious meaning full of vice. Secondly, the connection between leprosy and sin, it's a typology. Just as leprosy necessitated the separation of the sick person from the community, as we heard in the first reading, and often from their family, so sin separates us from those we love and ultimately from God himself. This is really the sadness of sin. Sin is sad not because we broke a rule, but because we broke a relationship. The separation can be twofold as well. Practically speaking, as we've already discussed, sin can break up families and workplaces and create division between people here on earth. But the most tragic separation is the separation eternally from our loved ones, from the Lord himself. Maybe it's a fault of us clergy. We don't just lay it out there what the catechism says often. So I'm going to do that. Catechism 1861. This is what it says about mortal sin. Mortal sin is a radical possibility of human freedom, as is love itself. Okay, stop. That's really cool. That's a great sentence. Mortal sin is the other side of the coin that is love. We can't choose to love unless we have the freedom to choose against love. Well, it's smart. You're smart, whoever wrote the catechism, right? It's a beautiful thing. It results in the loss of charity in the provision of sanctifying grace. That is the state of grace. So mortal sin takes away the state of grace. If it is not redeemed by repentance and God's forgiveness, it causes exclusion from Christ's kingdom and the eternal death of hell. For our freedom has the power to make choices forever. That's a great sentence as well. Our freedom. Because God wants us to be able to love. Without love, without freedom, we are robots. We're not lovers. And that freedom allows us the power to make choices forever with no turning back. That's called hell or heaven, depending on which side we fall. That's the catechism and the actual teaching of the church. We often do not call this to mind enough because we have been increasingly able to keep death out of sight. It's been modernity's job to keep death out of our sight. It's been harder recently, but we've done it. Life expectancy has risen. So it's further. We can kick the can further because life expectancy is longer. In 1920, it was just 53 years. In 2020, it was almost 79 years. It's a big difference. Our elderly, sometimes it is a modern trend to have our elderly no longer in our homes or amidst our families. So we don't see age. Wakes more and more often have only an urn and not a body. We don't see bodies. Even at the burials themselves, we cover, and I've seen this and I've recognized it, and something didn't fit right with me. We cover over the holes with green fake grass sheets or something. We don't want to see the hole. And often the person in charge from the funeral home will say, okay, now the service is over. You are dismissed. And the body is interred by itself. You know, when I was at the Abbey, when a monk would die, there was no green sheet. The monks dug the hole. They didn't lay anything over it. They put boards on it with ropes. And we lowered the body. And every single seminarian took a shovel. Every single person. There used to be a tradition. We would do that as a church. You would bury your loved one. There's an intimate encounter with death that sometimes with modernity we're trying to get rid of. Well, that affects our ability to contemplate our own death. We do not know when we will die. Or how. We cannot presume to be able to go to confession on a hospital bed or receive anointing with our family around us. God willing, we hope we have that grace, like I said last week. But we all know people who are taken very quickly. We have to be ready at all times, every moment. Is our soul prepared now? Not do we want it to be prepared, or we have plans for it to be prepared. Is it prepared right now? Are we in a state of grace? Number three, yet as long as we have time, there's always a way back. That's the third connection the early church writers made. The Old Testament suggests the following cure for leprosy. It says this: if someone has on his skin a scab or pustule or blotch, which appears to be the sore of leprosy, he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of the priests among his descendants. In the Old Testament, if you were brought to the Levitical priesthood, then what do you do in the New Testament? Like, the New Testament always raises the bar. So instead of the Levitical priesthood, you bring yourself to Jesus through the ministerial priesthood in the line of Melchizedek. The early church fathers carried this on. They said this, St. Basil, as men do not make known their bodily ailments to anybody, everybody. Well, most people don't. Some people do on Facebook, but anyway. But only to those who are skilled in healing. So confession of sins ought to be made to those who can cure it. Don't tell the bartender your sins. Don't tell the hairdresser. Tell the priest. St. Jerome, likewise in the New Testament, the bishops and the priests bind or loose in virtue of their office, having heard various sorts of sinners. They know who is to be bound and who is to be loosed. This is the early church. It's found in Scripture. Last week we went over the anointing, the scriptural foundation for anointing. Matthew 16, Jesus changes Simon's name to Peter and says, "You are the rock, I'll build my church, and you have the power." Here's the keys. You have the power to bind and loose sins. Whose sins you loose will be loosed. Whose sins you bind will be bound. And then later gives it to all the apostles, who will pass it down to the bishops and onward down to the ministerial priests. John 20, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, then him whose sins you retain are retained." That is Scripture. That's the Bible. That's the teaching of the church. Why? Because God knows us. He knows that we as humans need human interaction to know and to love and to receive. We have to feel love. We have to see it. We have to experience it and touch it. It's not just a thought. When you walk into a confessional, there might be a priest in front of you. In that confessional, though, he's in the place of Christ. He's a vicar of Christ. He is merely a representative, a tool of Jesus. It is Christ you meet in the confessional. It is Christ who forgives you. It is Christ who, if you are forgiven and in communion, you will encounter in the end. It's been difficult this past year with coronavirus and trying to find out times and ways of doing confession. Me and Father Jamin are here every Thursday, 4 o'clock. We're also available after Masses. If you track us down, it's easier than before Masses, or send us an email, call the parish, leave us a message, leave a message with Lainey. We'll set up any time. We'll meet you where you want to meet. In the office, the confessional, outside of Red, White, and Brew. I mean, I'm down for anything, whatever, you know, buy me a beer. I mean, it's not simony. I'm not like saying, you know, paying for the sacrament. It's just, we're willing. Just let's get ourselves ready this Lent. It's about to start for a beautiful Easter that we'll get to. For 2 years now, we hadn't been able to. This will be the first Easter in a while. Let's get ourselves prepared for that resurrection.